We are here with an important. I'm excited.
Not to start, right?
I mean, Bill, you got to. I've been pretty hyped about this. Yeah. I was like, I know who the first guess. Because I honestly doesn't know. I don't know how he got started. I really didn't.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about it. We're going to touch on everything. Because I got questions, too.
I started flipping my first pack at 16. It was snowball from there.
What's your age?
I was in the game.
What's your age so we know that the statute of limitations is up? Right. I ain't trying to have the feds kick this fucking door down.
Ain't trying to diddy you, player.
What happened to Hector? Dorsey wanted to do a podcast, and next thing you know it, Hector got...
Rap snitches, telling all their business. Going to be their own star witness.
Episode 2.
We here.
Welcome back, Ryan Dorsey.
Thanks for having me again.
Episode 2. This ain't rocket science, and we have a guest today. The owner of Water Ice, founder. Very excited about this guest. Me and Ryan, we want to focus a little bit on entrepreneurs and everything. And you being an entrepreneur in the city, I think this will be a very opportunity to really talk to you, figure out how you started, you know?
One of the good things we decided in coming up with this, we don't want to interview Hector when Hector gets that letter in the mail that he can start acting goofy because he just got bought out for like 100 M's or something. We want to know, like, we're seeing you grow, seeing you take off. Like, we want to catch you right now before you hit that point where we got to go through somebody else to get you on the phone.
Right.
At that point, I'm not calling.
That's true.
And Bill knows me very well. I'm
not calling.
I'm not calling. The minute you get a manager, well, it was nice knowing Hector. Man.
Getting a manager is a surefire way to, like, you know what, now I'm not talking to you anymore. Like,
I almost had my assistant set this one up for me, but I went straight to the source on this one. I was like, all right, let me get me on.
He did answer the answered the text.
Immediately? Yeah. I like that.
If it's wrong, I'm gonna let it 2 rings max.
Answered the I felt very, very actually, yeah, I called.
2 rings max. You can't let that ring or go to voicemail.
That's respect, man. That's why you're here to get the talent. Yeah. You got Hector sitting there.
So
but briefly, we'll just touch on your company, touch who you are, introduce yourself, and for the people that don't know.
Yeah,
and I want to start, Hector. Don't give me the I started in Water Ice.
If you don't, we won't get
the. You want the introduction or like the origin story?
I want the origin. I want to know where you're from.
We want the
So the origin story of Water Ice and how it all started. It was actually in college. It was at Temple, and roommates of mine and myself were like, "Oh, let's do like an online blog because I want to do a blog." And at the time, I didn't feel like there was anything representing like the culture, what I like. You know,
what year was this?
I'm dating myself now. This was like more towards the end. This was probably 2005.
Okay.
So it was like, yeah.
Heavy blog days.
Heavy blog days. It was like, no, or like beginning of like MySpace days. So it wasn't like MySpace at the time. You could have like a profile picture. Mm-hmm. That was it. You got to have EDU.
Favorite 5?
Yeah, you put the top 5.
Top 5?
Then they expanded it to like 8. 15.
Oh, I meant like Facebook did that. But yeah, MySpace did that.
I'm old. I ain't catch the Facebook wave. I got it when you could just put your regular email.
Yeah, I had the email. Yeah. But like MySpace, so MySpace days. Long story short, I guess going through it, I was like, we created a site and I was the only one writing from the team and nobody was contributing. So I shelved it.
Okay.
Then I started doing, internships. So I did an internship at this record company called Takedown Records.
Okay. Who they have on? Who was
it? So Bugsy, Snake, Caution.
Okay.
A couple like well-known rappers at the time. This was like when DVD era. It was crazy. They were doing promotions at Palmer's. It was Takedown Fridays.
Wow.
Ace and Capone. And so they were at Sigma Studios in Chinatown.
Sigma Sounds.
Yeah.
Shout out to Darrell. Darrell Bottom.
Yeah. So I was in the trenches there. Yes. So I was doing like helping them with promotions, things like that. So I was like sitting there. But the one guy that was running kind of like the operation was his white dude was real cool. I forget his name, but he had a company called Cheesesteak Media. And at the time, I was like, shit, that's such a great name because you don't have to say what it is. You know it's from Philly.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, it kind of brands it itself. So I was like, I want to do something that's like, has the same thing. So I thought about what can be Philly that's not exactly says media in it that could work. So Water Ice was the next thing I thought of because if I was like Premier Philly News Network, no one will remember. You'd be like, who's the guy's name or their network? But if you brand it Water Ice, no one ever forgets. They would say, oh, you're the Water Ice guy.
It's perfect because like, and shout out to you for that name because Water Ice, you know, say water. Ryan, say water right now.
I hate this.
Say it.
It's people from like I deal with this with all my Canadian friends. How they talk about
different things.
Water.
Yeah. So I'm water.
Yeah. So it's water. So it's like, that was another thing.
Three
too,
different ways.
Phonetically, yeah.
Yeah, phonetically, 3 different ways. So like you associated with the Water Ice from the region and then also that water. And you also spelled it, you know, W-O-O-D-E-R, correct?
Yeah, because they were saying a lot of times, like, accents are dying, like New York accent or Philly accent. So I wanted to kind of keep that alive and kind of keep play homage to it. So it was like, so what it was like, and plus it was like, at the time I was able to own it. So I got like a trademark, Water Ice.
Nice, okay.
For media and things like that. So I was running with it. Then I ended up doing like a market for project manager for SEO company.
Okay.
And I was helping businesses with their SEO and things like that. And then I started, and then lucky I have access to developers that were there. So it was like a company, but they had like a whole section with just people, developers back end, helping people with websites. So I got cool with them. So they were helping me do my website on the side. And I mean, can y'all me do this? Can y'all me do this? Like setting it up, whatever. So then I got it going and running, and I officially pressed the launch button, I believe in 2014. So it was like 10 years. This April, 10 years.
Congratulations! That's just 10-year anniversary.
10-year anniversary.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah. So you said you actually started in 2005.
Yeah, the idea, the concept of it. Yeah.
Was it like you were just sitting at home and you were like, I hate the job that I'm currently doing. This internship sucks. My boss is a punk. Like, at what point were you like, yo, man, I could do this. Like, I really can get into this.
Because at the time, I would think I was like senior in school, and it wasn't so much that I. Because the idea of being an influencer and a blog, it wasn't like how it is today. That wasn't a concept. So, like, I was still thinking I have to do, like, corporate America. But I wanted to follow a passion. It was writing because growing up, I was reading, like, the Source magazine and WSL. But, like, when you read the Source back in the day, the journalism was so good. You can see, smell, and, like, feel the room. Like, they'll describe, like, I walked in the room and Nas, it was, like, the jury day. The AC was blasting. So it was, like, you could feel it, like when they were those, the journalism back then was so descriptive, and I loved it.
I feel terrible. Remember, I tell you when you be talking, and I be shaking my head.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't read. I looked at the pictures, Hector.
That's all right.
I ain't gonna lie to you.
It's all right.
Source, XXL. Yeah. I looked at.
Nah, I was.
You remember the pictures back then?
Yeah.
It was video vixen.
But you
had
to read
the pictures.
Yeah.
You read them because it's descriptive.
Yeah.
Like
I tell you all about Bernice Burton.
I wasn't into books. I was just into the magazine. So I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to write for these kind of publications, and I wanted to kind of build a portfolio. Because I ended up doing public relations. So my first job at Kaiser was a PR company. I was doing press releases, and it was like big companies. So it was like I was doing stuff for like SEPTA, mm-hmm. Okay. PA Tourism. So I was like, and I was really doing it. And this was like 06, 07, as soon as I graduated. So I was like, I knew I wanted to write. I love to write. So yeah. I was like, blogging is my thing.
And your degree at Temple.
Public relations.
Was public relations.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
At the time, it was journalism, public relations, advertising. So I knew I wanted to be in that lane. But it's not like how it is now when you see everything with like.
I was about to say like, cause, so I was in news for a long time. I'm broadcast journalism major, but I wasn't in PR, but you know, you got to take those classes and everything. It aligns a lot. And the state of PR now, like, what do you think traditionally what it was when we were in school and everything now? How do you feel about it? Like, what is it? How has it changed? You know, how's the landscape changed?
Well, I mean, then I feel like it was, I don't want to say, like, better. Like, but I feel like it's more credible and things like that because you have to really develop relationships. But now I think now news now just follows clout trends and kind of, like, what's going to move the needle more than, like, integrity. So it's like they don't even fact check things a lot of times. They're just trying to rush to get out the stories. You see all the time retractions, things like that. And whatever, like journalism, even now, when you look at like New York Times, New York Post, they'll when social media, they'll promote more stuff like here's Taylor Swift or here's that. You know, so it's like a lot more soft news, not like they do still stuff, do like journalism stuff, but it isn't like as like. I don't know,
hard-headed
as it was before. It's like now they're hitting like trends, like what's trending on TikTok now, what's popping now. So they're more following trends instead of setting the tone like they used to.
Do you think that's a good thing? Like I have conversations like this, and I think we talked about it a lot. It's like, is it a good thing the way they do with the trends and journalism completely out the window? Because before you had to credit stuff, you were liable for what you said. You know, you had to cite your sources, all this stuff. Now it's like I feel people see something on a social media and now they might run with it. It might not even be true.
Yeah, I don't think because like I go with when it running my platform, I go with the integrity part. Because if you notice now, like I never post like things like fights. People on drugs in the street, whatever. There's a lot of blogs or pages that are post like crazy wild, like people in Philadelphia doing crazy stuff.
Right.
And just to get the clicks and the likes and the shares, and they'll get more followers and more likes. But I stay like with the integrity part of it. Right. And so another point I wanted to do was control my narrative. So if you see anybody that's like black or brown on my page or whatever, any ethnicity, they're doing something like being a business owner, something positive, they're bringing something back to me. Like you'll never see anybody like stealing or doing crazy stuff or bidding or jumping on cars or anything. I, like, like, I see stuff like that, I have to, like, it's tempting, like, damn, this can get a lot of likes, but I pass on it because I know that's not what I want this platform to be. Like, if you see somebody like Ryan or who I like, our features, like, because he's doing, because I want somebody that's, like, those 16-year-old kids that see that too,
yeah,
are going to see this, and they're going to see, like, damn, my man owns, like, 3 restaurants, yeah, and he's doing all this stuff. Like, I could do that because it's, like, representation matters. So when they see somebody like you or you or whoever, they're going to be like, damn, they see this yourself there. And then I don't want them to see more people acting up. There's enough of that. I want them to see, like, oh, snap, like, I can really, like, really do this if I stick to it.
Right.
So one of the things with me, like, in creating these businesses and things that I'm involved in is the creative part. Like, I love the creative part, yeah, of it. And looking at your logo,
yeah,
and how you spelled water ice,
yeah,
how you spelled it, like, walk me through, like, the process for you to figure that out. And then finally, because I know when I do certain things, like, when I look at the Winston, you know, the running joke with the Winston was I just thought it was a real – pompous name, like, and I wanted it to be a bear, you know what I mean, with punching gloves. That's what I envision, and it's not that. But when I got ready to launch it with my partner Mark at the time, it was just the name and the font, and I was like, okay, this is it. So how did, walk us through, like, that process, because your brand is heavy, and then I want to get into, like, the merch, yeah, and all that stuff. So walk me through that.
Just coming back a little bit, like, when you said the Winston, it reminds me, because we did a story in the one ball, he owned a clothing brand called Winston in Philly.
Duke and Winston.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the Bulldog.
Yeah.
So it reminded me. I was like, so that's the first thing I thought about when I said Winston. I'm like, Winston, I remember him.
Yeah, Sean.
We actually did an interview. I was one of our first interviews, too. Like, again, black business owner. And I was like, I want to, he's the brand. Solid, I mean,
yeah,
so it's like, I wanted to put that stuff out. But to your point, I was lucky enough, my old roommate, he was like the flyer king of Philadelphia. I don't know if you know Sergio. You know,
Sergio did it?
Yeah, Sergio.
Sergio did my first bar.
Okay.
Level 2 Lounge.
Yeah. So yeah, Sergio was my roommate in college.
Funny story, and I hope Serge hears this. I'm in Miami, mm-hmm, and we're at, my wife and I are at a zoo.
Yeah.
And we're at the zoo, and we're about to go see this, like a tiger. You could pet the tiger.
Yeah.
And they had a whole bunch of pictures on the wall. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. They used this couple as, like, one of the pictures. And as I keep looking, the couple's more and more on this thing, and it's Sergio's family's zoo.
Yeah.
Where he married the woman, or his wife owns the zoo or something.
So her family owns the zoo, so her stepdad owns it. He was actually in Tiger King, the show.
Yeah.
I was about to leave that part
out. Yeah. That's a major drop. But he
I was actually trying to leave that part out. Yeah.
So that went to the wedding. They had, like, gators and monkeys, all types
of. I saw the picture, because then I texted him. Yeah. And of course he called, and of course I got that. Of course you know somebody. And I was like, you don't understand. He designed, I think he designed, Serge designed Level 2.
He's not, like I said, if you had a club,
I'm almost positive
Deco, Recess,
really?
Every
I'm
club.
I'm almost positive he designed the Recess logo.
Wow.
I think so. Either
Mint.
I think it was him or him.
Mint.
He did.
Wow.
Yeah, Chris Stewart came on afterwards.
Yeah.
Cool. Serge designed Recess. Yeah.
Wow. He was like the guy.
He was the guy.
Shoot, yeah, that's crazy. Just by the places y'all saying, man, I remember Mint. So,
yeah, so we used to promote that.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He was my roommate for, like, all through a college. So, like, 5-6 years I lived with this guy.
Okay.
So, like, he was already in Florida. So he was like, yo, I'm trying to do this. So original logo. And he did the revamp. So he did our water ice logo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it a long process back and forth?
Nah. Serge is a visual. You know, Serge is he actually, at the time, he also worked for, like, Adobe, stuff like that. Yeah. Like, he's like,
Serge was like one take.
Executive, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, no, Serge was over in the booth.
Okay. Like, that's one thing, you know, like, I don't bother him no more. Stuff like, I've never asked him since then, but he just, like, you don't have to worry. I don't think I've ever seen him, like, had to go through revisions like that in my life. Like, you just killed it.
There'd be certain people like that. Just one time. You get them the vision, what you want, they're going to knock it out the park.
He's a beast, yeah. Right.
So you picked the logo, right? And then it was, you sat on it. Did you go right away? Or did you take some more time to plan and think?
I just kind of was just going with it. I just went with it. And then he didn't do this logo, but I had the other idea with the Ben Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I did, to my other boy, Eric, he did that one. Because I gave him an idea. I knew what I wanted. And because I knew I could interchange the bandana to different things and market it.
Yeah.
But as soon as I had that, because I knew I wanted a lifestyle image for merch. So that I know that was going to lead the way. But as soon as that happened, I was just ready to go. I just wanted to write. I didn't care. I was just putting stuff out. Mm-hmm. I was just like, writing blogs. At the time, video wasn't on my mind.
Yeah.
When I first launched, it was just writing reviews and, like, the best places to get this food and whatever. Because a lot of people were like, oh, Philly doesn't have this or it's boring, whatever. Yeah. And a lot of people at the time were graduating, leaving school. I was like, nah, Philly's dope. You just don't know where to look or how to look.
Right.
So I would aggregate this information of, like, local bars. And this is, like, again, before influencers were like coined and all that stuff. Yeah. So I was like spotlighting businesses, and I was doing it for the passion. I was driving around. And then eventually I started working, doing marketing for Keller Williams. And then, I couldn't afford a camera at the time. Mm. So they had like it was like a T3 Canon. they had for the class in the office. So I used to borrow it at night and like do like interviews and take it back. You know what I mean? So, and like, I used to just like use that until I was able to like, but at the time I was doing video. If it was any event, I was there. Yeah, I had energy.
That's where I met you a couple of times. Was different events. You would be out and people, you know, Hector. Like, so when I got into business, you know, they put that parallel production and everything, and I was like, you got to know Hector. And when I saw you, I'm like, I remember Hector. He used to be out covering events all the time.
Just for free too. I wasn't asking for like. Now people get a camera, they start, oh, you got to charge you. Like, I wasn't thinking about like.
Why is that important? Well, two things you just touched on real quick, not to cut across you, but one thing was we were focused on getting stuff out, like that consistency. You just wanted to get that out. Talk about that, and also. Really just the consistency and wanting to get that out. Why was that such a thing that you would want
to
do?
Well, I had to find my voice, find my groove, and find the brand itself. So I had to, like, just put it to it felt right. Yeah. So I got to the point where, like, I feel comfortable now. And I had to, like, I didn't understand, like, how algorithms work, but I knew how to crank out content. I knew that much. Like, I just loved doing it. And I was like, oh, I'm getting, like, just putting, like, information out there. So I was just doing that, but I knew how to create a body of work. I understood how SEO worked, blogging worked, because that's what I did. Yeah. So I was just like, all right, I need to be seen, whatever. But I wanted to be seen not as a blog starting up. I wanted to be put up there with the Philly Mags of the world and the journalists. I wanted the respect because, like, they're only big. I'm not discrediting them, but, like, say somebody like Philly Mag or any other magazine or whatever, they're big because, like, we make them big. If everybody brought their stories to another platform, then that platform would be big because all the dollars and ad dollars would go there. Right. So it's like when I see people, like, say, like artists, like, they start off with the small blogs here and interviews, and then they blow up, and then they come back, and they only do big platforms. It's like, you should go back to the small platforms that made you because, like the people will still watch your interview no matter where it's at if they're your fan. Mm-hmm. So, like, I always thought, like, that fast one. Like, I could still be big as long as I, like, keep going and I like, you know, bring in, like, good subject matter and people I could interview that are bigger names and keep going, I could be just as credible as other brands. So I knew how to bring up that brand integrity, so I knew how to do that much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So 10 years, right? Yeah. We're celebrating the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, yeah.
At what point along that 10 years, did you realize I'm in the trenches? This shit may work or it may not
every
work.
Day. Every day. To this day.
I like that.
To this day.
Because some people were like, well, it was the one time. No, it's, shit, this shit's
like,
still hard.
Nothing's like set in stone. Like you said, until you get like something like, first of all, never get comfortable. You know what I mean? Like you never get comfortable no matter where you're at because they can be taken away. I don't care if you're established or not. It's like, look at prime examples of like, I don't want to use Diddy or whatever, but people that fall from grace all the time that it could be taken away any minute. It could be, you know, like, I know this dude that's a chef that, you know, he was in an accident. Now he can't, you know what I mean? So your gift can be taken at any minute. So don't take it for granted. So I'm always, like, happy to be, like, on the ground and trying to. So every day I can wake up and do what I do is a blessing. So, but I think I'm in the trenches to this day. Like, I don't think I'm anywhere near where I want to be, obviously. But, you know, there's a lot of work to do, but.
Was there ever a point where you were like, maybe this isn't working?
Every day. Every day.
Still, every day. I might have to switch this.
Like, mean, Amazon, they pay a lot of money.
Because you see, like, your friends and stuff like that, they're, you know, incorporating, and, like, at this moment in our age bracket, they're already comfortable. The 401s are healthy.
Yes.
The families are growing. And I'm still, like, because the fact that, because social media didn't come around until I was in my 30s and, like, how bad it is now. And monetizing all that didn't exist. Like, I got a real late start. Had it been like how it is now, back then, I would have been way ahead of the game. But I had to start late, so now I'm late in the game. So, like, but I think about all the time, like, damn, I could be, like, comfortable doing this. Like, if I just get a job. It's like running a marathon, you know what I mean? Like, damn, why don't you quit? You could just get a pizza right now or drink right now and enjoy yourself. But it's like, nah, then you won't be a satisfaction when you get to the finish line.
Right.
It's like if you stick with the race. So, it's like, I'm already too deep in the game, like, fuck, I'm just gonna go out like my shield if I have to.
Got it.
I got a question. So, like, because this is gonna be a twofold question. I'll come back after you get this answer. But has there ever been an opportunity that, like, a company, a big company, has come to you with an offer and you're like, you know, damn,
say the offer.
Yeah, you don't gotta say. But have they? What was your feeling when they did, and why did you, you know, thought process? Why did you turn it down? Because I know it's happened.
Yeah.
Or a partnership.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, more so partnership, not really bought out yet. But like, there's partnerships that you just didn't align with what you're trying to do, yeah. With like whatever the branding is, whether it's like, cause I don't want to like, cause like we have a certain like voice and like feel when you're on our site that it'll be jarring if we just start putting like anything like ads. Like you never see like plain ads or promos on our website and things like that. So when they, even if they offer big money, do this, do that. Like, nah, like. We, that's not the way we operate. You know what I mean?
They want to see the Miller Lite sign wrapped around,
flashing. Shit.
You go to a Hector event, they got the pins blinking and the Miller Lite girls.
Hit three boxes just to get back to the band.
We find other ways we could work together, just not how, you know what I mean? We find creative solutions, but.
All right. So yeah. That was going to be, go into my next question is, nowadays, how do, for someone that's kind of green on, you know, how that would like, how that would be monetized nowadays? Like, what are the monetization opportunities for people that are putting out content? Specifically, you know, how do you utilize your content to kind of monetize?
I mean, there's so many ways you can monetize. And I guess, obviously, the simplest way is, like, do videos and, like, they get monetized on like, platforms. But also do just events or just creating budgets, getting retainers just to put out budgets. So you got to find what people's needs are. And it's kind of create a solution for their whatever their needs are. You know what I mean? Kind of fill in the gap. Like, people that are successful or these people in high places, they're just trying to buy their time back and create, you know, like, and grow what they're trying to grow. So if you can just make their job easier and help them grow their brand in the process, you're growing your brand, you're going to create, monetize. You got to show that your value is what it is. Like, as long as you bring a value to the table, people are going to listen to you. Because at the end of the day, no one's successful wants to deal with a fuck up or people with excuses and things like that. So you just got to, like, be consistent and provide a value, and it'll come to you. Don't chase the money. It'll come. Like, as soon as you find your lane and your comfort zone, it'll come.
Has there ever been a time you fucked up?
Yeah. It was funny.
Every day.
Every day. Like, every day is a learning.
Tell me one where you were like, oh, shit. This is about to be a problem.
Like, I had, like, situations where, like, I accidentally, like, deleted footage. Like on the SD cards and like that. One time it cost me like $5,000. Oof. Yeah.
It's a costly mistake.
And the thing is that they paid me, so I had to like
give it right back. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, so.
Oh, so you had to give them their money back.
Yeah, yeah. So
you couldn't shoot. I guess you can't shoot.
Nah, because it was already like.
It was
like,
an event?
It was an event, yeah.
That's
right. It's a big brand. So it was like, that has happened to me. Hard drives has crashed. I have had. I remember the first, it wasn't like a real fuck up, but the first like, damn, one of them that we were interviewing Bernard Hopkins like early on.
That's a damn.
So we were at Cafe La Mold where he's like,
he's a regular.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of has ownership, I think.
Something. He's a regular. Yeah. I see him. Yeah. Multiple.
So this is like years ago. And I had like a shotgun mic on the thing. And my boy Jay's like interviewing him in the corner. It's like, interview's going great. We're like probably 20, 30 minutes. And then I looked down and I noticed that the fucking shotgun mic wasn't plugged into the damn fucking camera. And I'm like, fuck, the mic wasn't plugged in. And I said it kind of out loud, and he's like, and at the time he's thinking like nothing was recorded. You can still hear the sound, but isn't as crisp.
Yeah.
And he was after that, like, we kept going, but his like demeanor just changed.
Right.
He was just like, I don't want to be here. These people are amateurs.
They're not serious.
Yeah. Like, right. Fuck. That was my first time learning, like, just shut the fuck up and go with it and fix it later.
Yeah.
Instead of saying it out loud.
100%.
So you just learn, yeah.
Just roll with the
punch. Just roll with it, yeah. Like, you didn't press record, like, don't tell them.
Don't say nothing. Just re-ask the question.
Yeah.
Keep it rolling.
And I think we should do one more take.
Hey, Dom, is this shit on? Just want to check, Dom.
Yeah. So
we got Hector. Yeah. You know what I mean? We got Hector here.
Technical issue. So those are like those technical stuff that's happened to me. Yeah.
That's I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah, that is a lonely feeling, bro.
What's his nickname?
Execution.
Execution.
Yeah. I was just like, damn, I let him
he
down.
He might punch me.
Yeah, straight up.
Jab is coming. Jab is coming.
I every time I think of it, every now and then that'll like pass through my mind, I get cringed. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. I've had that situation, like forgetting to hit record.
Yeah.
And like you think, and you're looking through the footage like, yo, I got this crazy shot. I know it's in here. Oof. I know it's in here. And then you realize that you're like, damn, I wasn't hitting record.
Mm.
Like that's a bad feeling.
It just happened to me like recently too, but nothing crazy because I actually did that quick video for, I don't know if you saw, I just posted Jimmy Garecki's video. He's the Temple collab.
That is it, yep.
So I was like, I did this crazy Jones shots, dope show. And then for whatever reason, I forgot to dump it. And I formatted the card. So I missed out on these drone shots I wanted to put in the video. It happens to this day once in a while. I'm really good at it, but it just happens. There were so many shoots back to back, and I just
kind of. That'd be the worst.
Do a lot of people know that you're still actually shooting things?
I think so. I mean, people that need to know.
Okay.
I mean, I don't make it prevalent. I don't really, like, I used to do, like, a lot of stuff where, like, oh, I'm going to shoot this and that, but I don't do anything, like, personal shoots, anything like that, so it doesn't really matter.
So I'm not calling you for my kids' shoot?
Probably not.
No wedding shoots, nothing like that?
I did, like, 3 weddings. I hate weddings. I know people here, I know my guys are here, that either you want love to do it, that's what you do, or you hate it.
Or you hate it.
And, like, it's no in between. Like,
zero.
I did it because I knew the people. Other than that, I would never do weddings.
Yeah, I'll never do a wedding ever in my life. I'll never do a wedding.
So your personal social media, like, do you separate Waterize versus your personal? I mean, obviously, I know you personally, so
yeah, hell yeah.
Explain a little bit, how do you differentiate the two?
I think anybody that owns a business needs to have, like, their personal and business account, unless it's like you are the brand, maybe if you're like a motivational speaker. But even then, you might want to have, like, a burner account or something.
Yeah,
because you just need to separate yourself from the brand so you're not caught up. Plus, it's, like, 2 different messages, 2 different kind of, like, feels, whatever. Like, I just don't want... And I don't want myself to be the brand. I never want to be the face of the brand. I want to create a community, because when people feel they're a part of something that's bigger than them, they buy into it, and then you start building the community. I don't want them to buy into me, because I know people here, like, a lot of influencers in Philadelphia, and that they are the brand, but the brand lives and dies with you. And then plus, like, if you're like some of them are comedians, but if you're a caricature of yourself, then you always got to be that caricature. People always expect you to be act that way.
Right. Tell a joke, heck.
Yeah, tell a joke, whatever. Yeah, so, like, be that, do this, whatever. Yeah. So it's like, I don't want to have any time. I just wanted to, like, buy into the brand and the news source, and it's feed that, and then have different like people on camera doing different things, whatever. But I wanted to be his own community. I didn't want to be it. So I don't. In a perfect world, you wouldn't even know I did it.
Yeah.
I would just be, like, its own thing, and I would just do my own thing, and I'll just, like, you know what I mean? Kind of like Batman in the Shadows, I, like, switch up. But I would never, like, that would be in a perfect situation.
That's real. That's real, man. It's interesting you brought up that, too. When I first started my production company, I didn't want to pick up a camera. Like, I didn't want anyone to see me shooting anything.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't want to be viewed just as a videographer. So, like, when we came to productions and I had, you know, a big crew, we started getting different respect, and when they saw the product, it was like, oh, okay. So, like, it's important to me. That was one thing I learned. It's like, you got to separate it somehow, whether it's the brand or your person or something. You got to keep it separate. Now, will I shoot stuff? Of course, but it won't be a wedding.
Yeah.
It won't be, you know, it'll be certain situations where, you know, I'll shoot, but I think that's big. And
I think it's a mental health thing too.
For sure.
It's like being a drug dealer. Cause when I'm feeding this dope, cause social media is a drug.
It's a drug, yeah.
And, like, I'm feeding all this dopamine out to people to get, like, them, whatever. Fact. And it's like, you get high of your own supply sometimes, cause you're in the social media. You always got constantly scrolling, looking for news. And I'm always like, and if I didn't have that, I probably won't even be on it like that. Like, I hardly post my personal every once in a while if I'm in a project. But other than that, like, I like to be in the moment, and, like, for the most part. But so it's like, it's hard because you get high off your own supplies sometimes. You're like in it.
For sure.
So that's the catch 22.
I like you say getting high off your own supply. So my,
because Ryan likes to get high.
Yeah. So my, you never know when you're gonna go.
So my question is, like, in my industry, obviously in the bar, restaurant, club business, one of the exciting things is, like, when a certain person might come through the building, you get excited, and then after being in this for so long, you know, you don't come off. Right. When Hector comes, I'm like, oh shit, Hector's here. I sat with him. Last year we watched the game back there. But yeah, so, like, has there been an event or a situation in the last, let's call it last 2 to 3 years since you're on your 10th year that you've been like, oh shit, I got invited to the whatever. Like, have you hit one of those yet? Or I'm about to sit down and have a conversation.
I'm about to have dinner with Hov.
I'm about to have dinner with Hov. Forget the $500,000. I'm doing it for free.
It wasn't like so much like the last 2 or 3 years, or a little longer than that when I was working with Freeway. So that was like one of those moments, because like that was another time when I was borrowing the camera. I remember I was getting a text. Like, I was reaching out to him to get an interview. I was like, he was one of those, like, miracle, wishful interviews.
Yeah.
And his manager, he just happened to have a show coming up. His manager hit me up, Sherm. He was just like, we're rehearsing here. Be here at, like, 8 o'clock, like, tonight. And I'm, like, at work at 5 o'clock. I'm here like, Jay, you got to be ready. We got to do this interview. So, we, like, no excuses. We're up there interviewing.
Did you borrow the camera?
Yes.
Oh, shit. This is the Keller Williams. Okay, go ahead.
I was at Keller Williams, yeah. So, like.
That's amazing.
Love it, man.
This is the best part of the story.
Yeah. So, like, I got cool with Sign Free. He was cool. it was cool. But I was talking to his manager more, sure. So we developed a good relationship. And like I was, and then he would like do a show and whatever. And I was just doing stuff for free for him. I was just like doing videos. I never asked for anything, whatever. And this building a relationship, he happened to drop his Think Free album, signed to Roc Nation. Mm. Then Roc Nation was like, all right, we want to put you on the payroll to like start paying you to do his content. Mm. And not only that, we're going to put you on tour with him and Beyonce and Hov. Mm. So I was like on the run tour, like on stage with like DJ Khaled, everybody. Wow. And I'm thinking like, I started this shit like on my couch. The idea, like, what if I never responded to that text? What if I never did that interview? What if I never did all that pro bono work? Because right. I always say, like, not every opportunity has a check attached to it. Like, sometimes you make your time is your investment, yeah. and that investment paid off in the long run because now I have a great relationship with him. Whenever he does partnerships with brands that have checks, he'll call me to do stuff, like Amazon, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, just never expect none in return. Like, I always say, when you network, never ask for anything, always give. You know what I mean? Like when they like provide that value provide consistently, value. Put that in the bank. And eventually you can't either cash in it or they're gonna reach back and be like, you know what? This guy never really asked for anything, whatever. I mean, like, you know, so it works the way. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but never, I always say, never ask for anything. I never like sit around and like go through my connections. Like, what can you do for me? Or what can she do for me? I was right. like, what can I do for you? Like when I said, when you network people, like in networking, I'm going to rant here. when you're networking, a lot of people be like, when they say like you're in a networking situation, I'm like, hey, so how you doing? How's business? Mm-hmm. They say that, or like, how's everything going? Whatever. Instead of saying like, what's up, man? I saw you had this project coming up. Do you have any other projects you have going on or anything going on where I can help you out with, where I can benefit or that I can, like, support?
Major key right
you
there.
You know what I mean?
That's game. Oh, he's dropping.
He's giving game.
Yeah.
He's Tremaine's fire.
This is game.
Yeah, so it's
Mano's
like,
gone.
Mano's gone.
It Mano, separates you right there because it's like, all right, first of all, you never asked for anything. He's gonna. He's asking me how I can support. Yeah, maybe it's just a like a share or whatever, or like can you just share my post or whatever? It could be something like that, or like, yeah, maybe put out a story because like, when you start providing value, people start asking for stuff, you get a lot further, I feel.
That's a fact.
That's a super 100%
fact.
Super fact. Yeah. Question for you. The Ben Franklin...
Yeah.
Did you have to ask anybody for that, or you just did it?
Now, Ben Franklin is like one of those like common, like I have to say, Creative Commons.
I've been dying to ask. Whenever we hang out,
no one owns like the rights to Ben Franklin.
I just always wonder because when he started it, I was like, did he have to ask somebody for this, or you just like mine?
I went to his grave like, shoot, Godfather, can I? there's no one that has that owns that. It's like after so many years, like. Certain things become Creative Commons licensed. And mm-hmm. He's like an old figure, like George Washington or whatever. Like, you don't have to ask anybody to do this stuff like that. But sometimes I think about that with some artists, like same like Miss like Monopoly dude that like Monopoly does. Like, yeah. How does he get away with doing the Monopoly thing?
Yeah, because that's actually
yeah, you're selling the art.
It's pretty clear.
That's pretty clear.
Like, I never understood that.
He gets away with it.
I'm just gonna leave it at that. I don't know.
Monopoly, game of life.
So at what point did you decide to do the merch? Because I remember seeing you start mm-hmm. posting the merch.
Yeah. I mean, you always got to, like, that's one thing they tell anybody, whether you're an artist or whatever, like, or a bar owner or whatever, or, like, production owner, is always to have some kind of, like, merch associated with your brand because it's revenue that you can make while you sleep. Is it, like, on a store or whatever? It's, like, and plus, like, it helps to promote your brand or whatever. So it always something like I knew you always had to do. Like it wasn't like I had to think about it. I didn't invite that wheel. So it was just like I knew I had to do it. I knew I had to make something cool that's wearable. I didn't want to be a billboard like waterice.com. Right. I wanted to be, you know, Ben Frank is subtle. But now we kind of like not own that image, but like people a lot of times now they'll see it and like, oh, that's waterice thing. So like that.
Identify with it.
Yeah. Kind of
stop you when you're out.
Do they stop? If they know me, I don't really, like, I don't feel like I'm at that
He's
level.
He's back, dog. He's I'm in the back.
Like, if I, like, associate with certain people, but I'm not, like, in videos like that, you know, to be known.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, just not. You're doing a lot of, you know, obviously I follow your career.
Yeah.
You know, we're friends on the outside, but you're doing a lot more speaking engagements.
Yeah, so that's true.
Yeah, I just always wonder, like, not that if you're at a Sixers game and everybody's like, that's Hector! You know what I mean? Like,
that's Hector from Woodhouse.
It's not probably so much as that, but it's so much that I've been doing it for like 10 years. And Philly's not a big city.
Big city, small town.
Small town. So, and plus, I was in nightlife too. Mm-hmm. But I was in nightlife for like 9 years.
So, hold up. We got to bring it back here. Yeah. We got to dial it back. Because Ryan, the other day, he was like, I believe Hector was a bar back. So, where was this? Like, just talk about your nightlife. Where'd you start in nightlife?
I'm happy you glad you asked.
I always try to rope it back in somehow.
So, my first gig nightlife was I was working at in like Springfield doing at this market research company, and I worked at before research was Lounge 125.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was, it was the house music. Yep. And that was my first bar backing, was there where Recess was. So that was my first. And then,
right in the building.
And then I left there, and then I was out for a little bit. Then I went back into it, and then I was working at the Penthouse, not Gentleman's Club on Caster. So it was a strip club.
Classic.
A couple of years. I was just making bank. Because, like, you think, yo,
everyone there was making bank.
Yes. It was.
Everyone.
Yeah, that place was wild.
Everyone was making bank.
So there was, like, two of us. At one point, it was a lot of us. And then it went down to two of us that was working there, like, bar backing. And then, but they had, like, maybe, like, four or five waitresses on, like, three or four shot girls, two bars, and everybody had to tip us out.
Yeah.
So it was like.
The crazy thing about, and just to stay at the Penthouse thing, I don't know if you remember what it looked like?
Absolutely.
Oh, it was fire.
It had no business being.
That was so
all the way up 95. I'll never forget,
they convinced somebody, yo, let's take a ride, let's go to Penthouse. And I was like, why are we going here? And you take that, like, long road down to get to it. I'm like,
you're about to get off. You're about to get somebody's about
it's
to
like, yo, we
like
got
a mob movie.
It's like, good day, I'm like, well, take me to a diner first, then you're going to kill me. This is how this is going to go. We driving down that road. We pull up. I remember walking in, and it was, like, mid-set where the motorcycle was coming down from the ceiling. And I was like, did we transport to Vegas?
The dude that owned it, Alan, he's from Detroit. He's, like, actually the strip club king of America.
Clearly.
He has the book out and everything. Like,
really?
It's insane. Like, funny quick story. Like, he had a mansion. He divorced his wife. Mm. He bought the mansion next to it and erected a statue with a middle finger directly into the bedroom. And it's, like, on news. You can look it up. He has, like, book out and everything. He owns, like, most of all strip clubs in Detroit. It's insane. Like, in one of his clubs, he was the most Hennessy consumed in any club in the U.S.
Sheesh.
It's crazy.
Wow.
It's wild. He has all these crazy stats, but he.
I didn't know.
But the only thing is, he was like, I was kind of like, he's like, we don't play hip hop here.
Yeah. Yeah. I never heard him play hip hop. I went a couple times towards the end because we knew a couple people that worked there. Oh, they were bartenders, not.
I mean, it's okay. I mean, like, you're saying, like,
yeah, you know, just
we're no judge here.
I'm just going to keep it clean, you know? They were bartenders, they were friends. But yeah, I've been there a couple of times. I can't remember if they played hip hop or not.
I mean, there was only one time, and it was like laundry night, and it was when Ghost, shout out to Ghost, he used to come like on Thursdays, and he was allowed to play hip hop on his live set. Mm-hmm. Other than that, no hip hop. And let's keep it real, it's just to filter the people of color out. That's what it was.
I mean,
it was interesting because, like I said, it literally should not have been where it was.
Nah, it was an insane club.
It's demolished now, right?
I don't know. It's not open.
It's definitely not.
The building's still there?
Yeah, they tried to put a club behind it too. After I left,
I actually went there.
So after that, I was gone.
Full on shooting the next night. BT, I'm gonna slap him for that one. Brian Taylor was like, we gotta go check out this after hours. We go up there, and I was like, I don't know if this is gonna last, bro. Yeah. Like, you know, I've been doing the after hours thing for a while. The tension.
It was just there.
And I was like, yo, B, somebody would get shot in here. The next night, you heard about it. I said, I told you, man. But yeah, that place was special. You know, it just was in the
wrong spot.
Wrong time. All right, so fast forward now, you're a big star. You're how many followers moving? Do you have, by the way?
On the gram, it's like about to hit 142, right, which is pretty good. TikTok is like not 20. Threads is like 24, and like Facebook is like 30 something.
What's the best out of the three? Well, IG. TikTok, IG.
For me, it's IG because IG. I do a lot of articles, write ups, and it translates better on IG because people can read and it hits my demographic because they want to read shit. They don't want to be like click link in bio to read the story. They want to read the story. So I just give it to them, and they want, and it breaks up all the videos because every video is in your face, like, you know, like, here's 10 ways to, because, like, you're broke. I'm going to tell you why I'm 18 years old, have a mansion and three helicopters. And I'm like, God damn. Like, that's how it feels like.
Doing something wrong.
Yeah, they're reevaluating your life. Like, we're just providing a value where you can just chill, read something, you know what I mean? Something cool. And it's local, so it's like reading a local paper.
Which one do you, Instagram you said is the better. Let me backtrack what I was about to ask you. This whole TikTok thing going on. How do you feel about it?
I'm cool with it, man. Like, I really, like I said, I'm not really thriving off TikTok anyway. But, like, I don't know. Like, I had said that, they had asked me that too. I got interviewed about that too. It's like, you shouldn't have your brand riding on one platform anyway. You should be owning your content. So, like, my content lives. I have a website. So if social media goes down, I'm still good. I get good traffic to my website right now too. I have a website that gets good monthly traffic because that's monetized too. So it's like, I'm cool, but, like, obviously it does help a lot because it's, like, a portal or windows into your website. But like everybody that's like right on that one platform, like out of TikTok, that's all I do. And then you deserve to go out like sucker shit because you're the one like putting, you got to like spread it out. And, and plus, like, it's like, again, like the drug game. It's like you get into it, but that shouldn't be your end goal. Like a lot of like the bigger people, they're not stressing either because they already made their partnership. So it should already been a tool for you not to be doing crazy stuff forever. Either get your partnership, build your relationships, and move on to something else that's going to build you where you don't have to be in front of the camera all the time. So it's like
another key.
Yeah, yeah.
Major key right there.
Yeah, so like I already have a good amount of partnerships developed already where I feel good. Like I make myself like outside of like the Water Ice umbrella too. So it isn't all about Water Ice.
It was interesting. I ran into a friend of mine like a year or two ago. He's down in Fort Lauderdale, and he runs social media platforms for some semi-famous people. I think one of the biggest is Skims. He helps out
with Skims platform. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's a major.
But sitting with him, there's like 7 cell phones. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering today, I was like, I just want to see how many phones Hector carries.
I have one, but I'm going to get probably to get more because we're actually just launching our creative agency. So like we're because we've been doing it informally for like a while now because every meeting turns into like a consultation, you know how it is.
Right. And like I'm here for this.
Yeah.
Now exactly. I'm giving you
exactly. So we're like, all right, let's make it formal. So we're actually like going to officially launch it like next month. So it's going to be like, you know, helping like with small businesses with their content, social and public relations and things like that. So nice. I mean, we've done all those things for 10 years, so it's like really well versed. So feel confident, and I feel like a lot of people pay other brands, agencies, just to give me the work anyway. they're like, here, all right, let's do this. And then I end up with all like the content releases and doing the videos for all that. So I was like, you know what? Just come straight to the source.
Cut the middle, man. I'm a prime example. When I said, I think I called you, and when we sat back there, I said, when I'm finally ready to drop Ivy, what'd I say?
Yeah.
I was like, he's gonna get it. And then I was a part of something, and you thought that it was Ivy. I
don't know what it, I think it was time. I was like, damn, this guy backdoored me.
Yeah, no, it was something I put out. I don't remember what it was. Yeah. And I was like, no, Ivy's coming.
I want the exclusive.
Ivy's coming. Don't worry, it's all yours. It's all
yours. Because I got it, like, when it comes to dropping stories, I like to, you know, want it to be, like, the first to
the first.
People like it. So it's like, and it's helped brands. Plus, I want to tell authentically because, like, I feel like also being a person of color, I deal with a lot of business owners that are of color. Yeah. And, like, a lot of times the nuances and things get lost in the translation because, like, they'll see him and they'll be like, oh, black business owner opens bar and along the it's like that's not what he wants to do, dog. Like he's just a business owner and a bar owner. It's cool.
Thank you. Yeah.
Black business.
Yeah. I was like, damn, because I have to rewrite like, so many.
Just Ryan Dorsey.
I get so
thank
many
you, though.
Releases that I have to rewrite. I rewrite all them shits anyway, but so many titles, I'm like, this is not the wave.
That's good though. Yeah. That's good. And that's good that you're there to be the goalie for all that. Because if you're not, then it'll just be a mess. And they'll never learn from that. Like, at least you're there to have that conversation like, guys, you know, maybe this bar owner doesn't want to be preferred or explained as black bar owner opens informal white restaurant. Like, yeah, I mean, that optic don't really seem right.
Like, I'm not like a Latino blogger. I just like a blogger, journalist, or whatever, just happen to be. Like,
journalist.
You know what I mean? But I just like make sure that, like I said, like the narrative's straight. That's all.
Yeah. That's what you do a good job. I ain't gonna lie, you do a good job. It's been a great seeing. I always like seeing, you know, randomly like Water Ice or somebody reference it. Like you see this, they send it to me as Water Ice.
Yeah, like, that's good. People always say that. They be like, oh, you're out, but it's hard because like when I'm in my home and my box is writing my shit, it's like it's, I don't know because it's hard to see the forest from the trees when you're in the trees. You know how it is in your business. Right. So when people tell you, it's great to hear that, but I don't see it
because
people are like, oh, I see your stuff all the time. I'm like, really? But so that's good motivation to keep going.
For sure.
Like, but it's good to hear every time or whatever. Like I don't like. Like relish in it, but it's like, all right, that's cool. It's like confirmation.
No, I can attest. You are truly, you're truly doing it. You know what I mean, because even just amongst people in the bar and restaurant industry, your name is mentioned first now.
Yeah,
a lot of the times than others. You know,
but don't get twisted. Shout out to my team too. So like, well, Jay, Farron, Lawrence.
Yeah. Not you personally, but the brand, the Water Ice brand is mentioned. Nobody cares about you.
Yeah,
it's the brand.
It's the brand.
It's the brand. Yeah, it's the brand that's mentioned first. And I'm like, damn, he's got. That's why when we talked, I was like, Hector.
Yeah.
I was like, because I remember when
Like I said, I told Bill, I was like, he was in nightlife. I'm almost positive. Yeah,
if that helped, I think everybody should experience nightlife or retail to be good in any type of business. I think I recommend everybody. But now it's different, though. I feel like it ain't like how, oh, it was like a different. I don't want to be like, and back in my day.
Nah, but please do, because one of my questions is, what's the difference? You know, I'm a patron. I visit Ryan, a lot of Ryan's establishment. Yeah. What's the difference Bill you see from back company. Then?
Don't let him
bother. I mean,
I'm a silent partner.
Like, because, like, again, before social media, right, you had to go out there and put flyers on cars and really work the beat and really go out to let out. You got to know when, who was letting out when. And you had to, so, like, you know, like, if you went to the Latin car, all right, Lyrics lets out on Thursday nights. I know those Latinos are going to be there. And, like, this club, Palmer's, I mean, that's my back card. My Asians are going to be at Long's party.
Thursday night, Long's party. Yep.
I was saying, and you knew, like, there was a science to this shit. Yeah. And then so it's like, and then plus, like, the crowds are different. You were in the moment. It wasn't a cop, and this is like way before bottle service was a thing, so it was like more like, you know, communal. Yeah. It wasn't like separated. Like, you look at any clubs now where celebrities are just like standing there, looking at each other. But now it's just like, you know, like they weren't worried about cameras, so you're just doing stupid, dumb, just like having fun, getting wallies, whatever. I don't know. Like, you're just like in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was like.
And if you had a camera, you had a camera.
Yeah.
Megapixels. You had a Canon. Yeah.
8 megapixels. Like, the flash was terrible. It was blown. It was, but it was the best of times.
Yeah, and I wasn't knowing about your night till the next
then
day.
That, right. Yeah. Not during it's happening.
Not during it's happening. I didn't know where you were until tomorrow.
Untag me.
Yeah, like, yeah. That was the good
thing. And the community I felt was tight knit because, you know, like, they're like, come, we'll take care of you. Come here. We'll go there. We'll take care. AC was tight. It was like, you just go around. You felt like it was like a air of prestige almost when you were working. Like, I work at this bar. Because my last bar I worked at was Rumor. And it was like one of the top spots. And it was like, you know, when you work at Rumor, like, yeah, like, here's a bar. Like, all right, cool.
We was talking about that last week. We touched on it last week. It's like our friend Tremaine, who's the co-host on this, he was saying how when he goes to Ryan's establishments, he likes to know the bartenders, know the security. So, you know, he respects them. He talks to them. That's a lost art nowadays.
People 100%. Yeah, you got to work. You got to, like, work. How they say, like, Barack said, I treat the janitor just as much as she would. And those are the people that really provide access, because, like, most people come to the door like, I know the owner. The owner, first of all, does he know you? And if he does, he probably doesn't give a fuck. Plus, he's busy. It's the middle. Right. It's a Saturday night. He's the last thing you think about. Like, you need to be cool with, like, the door person and stuff. I remember, like, even in the hood spots were popping. Like, I used to go to spot Third Element, Second Cumberland, and there was a guard there. His name was Beast, big black dude. Mm-hmm. And, like, there used to be a line to get in, like, whatever. He would just see me because I always, like, say what's up and be like, all right, come on to the front of the line. And, like, those things like that are like, I can't remember his name from Rumor.
T-Fish.
Absolute legend.
So, like,
everybody knew T-Fish.
Yeah. And that was one thing I regret. I never got to, like, I was the one baby? Person I wanted to interview. I never got to interview him. I wanted to interview.
That would have been, that'd probably be an amazing. That's one doorman that I would want to interview. And then my own doorman.
I might fuck around and bring that, spin the block on that. But yeah.
T-Fish, he's down in Florida.
Is he? Oh, damn. It might be a Zoom.
He's down in Florida.
Damn.
So one last couple questions.
Yeah.
What would you tell the young? Because it took me a while to jump on a podcast with Bill, even though I'm obsessed and I listen to him all the time and watch him. And I send him stuff. And finally, he's like, yo, just stop bullshit. Let's get on it.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of people out there trying to do this. What advice would you give to the young person trying to start a content company or creative agency, or just trying to get into the industry that both you and Bill are in?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, just like anybody else, as you see on TikTok, where just start. You know what I mean? The fear that, like, everything you want is on the other side of fear, like they say. So, like, everything. So, like, once you get over that,
I'm telling you,
it's true, though.
Clippable clips.
I know how this works.
Text me like, guys, it's enough. That's enough. No one's going to watch the interview with all these.
2 months ago. Why are y'all still dropping?
I'm trying to make whoever edits this job a lot easier to break out the quotables.
Yeah, y'all working right now, the two. Y'all working.
But, like, I think, like, referencing content things, places like this, like, do your research, look at what other people are doing. Because I always say, like, it's almost like old school. Remember old school, we used to go on the trip and you used to, like, before GPS, you used to have, like, an atlas.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
So you know where you're at, you know where you want to go, and you used to have, like, you used to draw out, like, and visually, all right. But you didn't have the luxury of looking at your phone, so along the way, you have to stop and ask for directions. Mm-hmm. Like, am I going the right way, whatever. So you need that confirmation. So, like, place people like you or whoever, like a mentor or somebody in the game, so get yourself somebody who's knowledgeable in the route you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a lot of times your route is going to be, like, less traveled because entrepreneurship. But, like, get a mentor, somebody that's kind of been there, kind of, like, so you don't fall into pitfalls and get off the course.
No.
And just, like, research. Like, you probably know how many points MB dropped last night, but But like, he doesn't know shit about you. But at the same time, like, that's 2 hours you could have like been on a tutorial on YouTube learning a new skill or whatever. So I used to,
that's real rap.
So like, I used to like, when I brought my camera, I didn't know anything how to use a camera. I didn't know anything about editing. Yeah. I didn't know anything about shit. Like, everything was, the white balance was off. Like, everything was yellow. It was like, it was terrible.
How is this? Why is this happening?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know anything about ISO and like f-stops and all that shit. Like, I had to like watch YouTube. I used to spend like 2-4 hours a night just watching tutorials on YouTube, how to work this camera, how to edit, like, all right, how do I do this, like, how do I edit, what, how to do this effect. And I used to just like bookmark YouTube pages and then get it around. Yeah. And I used to have my own kind of courses on my own, and kind of like, so like, dedicate 2 or 3 hours a day to learn a skill or something in your craft, in your thing, and then see how other people are moving in that, in the industry you want to do, but make it your own. But also, like, again, like, just find like somebody that can help you stare with a mentor, I think.
Yeah. Where do you see, you mentioned a creative agency that you guys are starting, and I just want to touch on or ask you personally, where you see your company next 10 years, 10-year leap, where do you see?
That's funny, because I'm actually taking as a weekly class, and that's one of the things they asked us. It was like,
he asked me that last week. I had no idea what to say. I ain't gonna lie. He caught me like, so where do you see your company in 10 years? I was like, holy shit, I have no idea. I had to think about it.
Well, I mean, I think one of the first things you talked about your deck before, because he was actually in my office, like, when I used to have an office on Walnut Street, yeah. And then we used to do podcasts in there, mm-hmm. And we lost it after a pandemic. But my goal now is to actually get a storefront.
Okay.
I would like to work the agency and the business out of it, and kind of like break the barrier of the mindset of like, people have to see like some people's workspaces as like forbidden places to go. Like, oh, he works there, I can't go in there. Mm-hmm. We want to invite the people in. And kind of like you know, like a co-op working space, kind of work alongside, see us watch, do content in real time,
yeah.
And kind of like maybe like a cafe vibe, you know, so like it'd be like a cafe or a juice bar, and kind of like do there, because everybody's remote working anyway,
yeah.
So give them a space for them to kind of chill out, do what they got to do, and we'll just work in the background, like have this set up, we doing blue green screen, whatever, right. While they're doing that, they get to see shit happen in real time,
yeah.
And kind of like, because like, no one's doing that, I feel, because everybody's like, oh, that's his office, I can't go in there, but we want to kind of invite and make almost like a creative collab space, but like, you can work with us or alongside us.
I like that. It's funny, clients will add, and this had probably happened to you too. Can I show up to an editing session? And I'm always like,
oh, yeah, that's a little different.
Really?
Yeah, yo, one, and I, it's a close friend of mine that's a client. Well, a closer friend of mine that is a client. She works at a business, and they're, I'm a vendor for them, and it's like, she just wants to see the editing process, and I'm like,
yeah, and I don't like that either.
Like, it's different.
Can I get the raw files?
Yeah, I hate that question. I hate that.
I gotta get the raw.
Like, why would they want the raw files?
Because they
want
to do it them, try to do it themselves.
Yeah, right.
Seriously?
Because right. You don't want to go back. Like, if you have all the files, you're not gonna keep going back to him to do the work. Right. You can try to do it yourself.
Right.
Well, you don't know what you.
That's the whole point.
You don't know what you're doing.
Like, that's the whole point.
But then, now you have my files, and I don't know how you're using them. So like, now I shot something, and I don't.
Am I taking? Am I trying to cut costs and take it to like my little cousin? That,
but it's always making his brand look bad, because then you're using his footage.
Now I'm dicing it up and doing whatever.
What's his name? Stuff like, damn, that shit looks terrible.
In that situation, do you? I've added a fee.
Yeah,
essentially,
100%. Yeah. So like, I mean, I'm not opposed to giving it out, but you're gonna have to pay for it.
You're gonna have to pay for it.
That's an extra fee. So it's like, I mean, because there's some like clients were like, I know I probably don't deal with you again anyway. So it's like, whatever.
Right.
So it's just a fee to go with it, because I'm never going to circle the block. But it's, like, if I know it's a repeat client, whatever, I'm going to keep that. So
because also you want to put out a good product. And you want to control what you put out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you own the rights to it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm filming it with my company. I'm filming it with my equipment. So legally, it is yours.
It's mine.
Yeah. So get a contract, people. Like, make sure your paperwork straight.
Right.
Just like a nightlife. Like, the promoters come in, like, oh, you promised me this at the bar. It's not in writing. You know what I mean? So, like, make sure.
We are an email company. Yeah, it's circled.
Do people know your background a little? Because, like, how you started with promoting, like, Three Nerds and, like, the Daylord. That's crazy. Because he used to have, he was, like, actually crab legs at the party. Oh, you can eat crab legs. At the party. And
wait, at Daylo's?
Sometimes, yeah.
There was a buffet in the back.
Yeah. Buffet in the back, yeah.
It was, like,
I got there too late.
Sternals. And it was, like, this.
Bro, we did pizza.
I got there too late.
It was funny. We were talking about a birthday party, and I was telling my staff, I was like, we had the mummers at a Dayload party. Like, they were like, you had the mummers? And they made a joke, you should bring a marching band. I was like, did that too. I was like, I think I did that like 3 times.
To this day, people are still talking about it. I talk about that because, like, I was when obviously Piazza was in his glory.
Yeah.
And it was just like a different
Kings Oak, PYT,
Darlings was right there.
Darlings. Oh my goodness.
The TV was popping. They used to show games, all that stuff. It was like, And yeah, everybody, concerts, everybody. I think it was like activated. You know what I mean? Like
they activated. Now it's a pool.
It's a Shelvis Formers over there. You would never know.
Nah, you they got rid of parking lot. Yeah, there's a pool over there with
those communal spaces are gone. Day parties. I don't know.
It's not there.
And it's crazy because like that's our demographic. I was like, I want to go to a day party. I want to go home, be home by like a certain time.
Nah, it's listen. I watch the day parties come and go. They got a dope party called Ditch Day.
Yeah, we don't have a brunch culture,
which is massive. We try.
I mean, like, in Philly overall, I mean, like, you try, but I'm saying,
party,
like...
Party style brunch?
You know, like, if you go to, like, D.C. or Houston, Atlanta, New York, it's, like, it's a brunch culture.
It's a thing. Yeah,
it's a thing. Like, it's a thing. It's like, we're brunching today, and it was that's it.
I think women do. Women, but it's not, like, a party culture. It's not, like, that type vibe.
It's They'll not an experience.
Like, right. It's like four of them, like, we're going to go to park for brunch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a turn down. It's not a turn up.
Not a turn up. No, no.
100%. Well, Ryan's got to bring it back.
I got to bring it back.
My last rest on your shoulders.
Hey, keep calling me the Dark Knight.
Great power comes great responsibility.
he's a gym maker right here.
Battery in your back, man.
Yeah.
Who would be your goat to work with? We're gonna give you a second to think about it.
Like a partnership.
Partnership. Like, yo, I gotta work with blah blah blah. One person, if there's
one person,
I'm not giving you three. I gave Bill three.
Oh,
Bill,
God. I have a short list.
Said I want to interview Barack.
You said Barack.
I want to interview Barack and work with Spike.
Work with Spike. And then Tremaine said Drake, and I was like, okay.
Yeah. But he was right, though.
I saw where he went with
that.
He was right, though.
Yeah, yeah. Do one thing with Drake, you out here.
Oh, man. Oh, damn. I mean, so it's not a brand, it's a person.
Give me a brand and a person. I'm gonna let you go a little off on it. So go brand and a person.
All right. So maybe like a national like publication or like syndicate like network. So like say or like a streaming service, say like a Netflix or something, and create like a series, kind of like how I'm doing now, just like showcasing. Mm-hmm. Like there was a good example. Like I think it was like Hennessy or one of those brands that did like a cool miniseries in Brooklyn, and they'll have people like showcasing the neighborhood and things like that.
That was on the steps, right? It was like on a. It was a musical thing, right?
No, it was just I think, who was it? It was one, not Green Air. It was another DJ that was one of the people that were, like, showcasing. Like, this is where I good. Almost like Fuck That's Delicious.
Okay.
But, like, that was a great show.
It was a great show. Yeah,
action, bro.
Great show.
So something showcased in Philly like that, was just, like, Philly-centric, would be cool, and have, like, a network, like a Netflix, something like that, to, like, really create, like, a national platform for it would be dope. Mm-hmm. A brand. I mean, I worked with a lot of brands. I mean, I did a story with Jimmy Garecki. I would like to, you know, work with him because he's really dope. He does a lot of great stuff for like collaborations. And also, Hovey mentioned earlier I mentioned other podcasts was Greg Yuna.
Okay.
I think he's super dope.
Does he have a pod? He has a pod.
He has a pod.
I don't know
if he has a pod, but I just know. When it comes to marketing, he's probably, when it comes to marketing collaboration, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do it.
I feel like I saw him on a marketing podcast, but I could be confusing.
Yeah, so he would probably be a dope collaborator because it's the way, I think the way his mind works and kind of like, and it's just like with marketing and like product promotion and visuals is just like top tier, or the people around him are just like top tier.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for your time, Hector, man. This is, we got a lot of clips.
Yeah, hopefully. Anyone questions? Anybody? How about the audience? Yeah.
We got a lot of gems.
Any questions, Dom?
You in the back.
definitely got a lot of gems, man. I appreciate you coming through. And don't leave me.
Oh, appreciate my bad. That's what Karen said.
I thought you were
just like.
Yes, because I went to Arrow to go bing. Wait to the left. By you editing that.
That's it.
Yeah. I appreciate you having me.
You're the first, man. You're the first.
You're the first on the first guest on the rebooted This Ain't Rocket Science. Holding it down for Tremaine.
Trying to set the bar here a little bit, hopefully. You know what I mean? But I heard you guys, like, activists come and heard. Is that right?
We're going to try to get... Activists are a very busy guy, but we're going to try to get him.
We'll try to get him on. I got to catch him.
Stay tuned, because Janet Jackson's official tour DJ and Philly nightclub legend, DJ Active, will be on the show. So make sure you stay tuned, like, and subscribe.
Same rocket science, people.